We're talking now about labor law, and we're talking about the whole issue of industrial relations in South Africa. I'm joined on the line by Adil Patel, who's Employment Law Director at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr Employment Practice. Adil, thank you. You've just come out of a conference, which just recently finished, on looking at the year ahead, 2017. Thanks for joining me on Contemporary Business.
Thank you.
So what does 2017 look like for us? This seems to be a year of sort of medium levels of industrial action because there's been so much else to occupy ourselves with, but certainly nothing like the previous couple of years. Are we going to see a resurgence in 2017 of industrial action?
I don't think that much from an industrial action perspective, but what I think we are going to see is a demand for more wages through other means available to employees. You would recall that in 2015, the Labor Relations Act, the Employment Equity Act, were amended. Claims like claims for equal pay have come onto the forefront. So you're going to see employees using the courts, using the CCMA much more in order to claim that they should be paid equally to other persons where they compare themselves to. 2017 is going to see an increase by labor broker employees who are trying to assert their rights and become permanent employees by clients that that appoint the labor brokers. We envisage that 2017 you're going to see more companies trying to embark on retrenchments. You would recall that the CCMA during the course of this year said that they are dealing with a large amount, or there has been a substantial increase in the number of retrenchments that have been sent their way. We believe that in 2017 this is going to increase. I think that we've seen that in the platinum sector, coming to industrial action, they've signed a three-year wage agreement. I think you're going to see pockets of industrial action, but I think if we are going to see any sort of industrial action in 2017, I think we're going to see it's going to be potentially longer, and we need to be mindful of any acts of misconduct or violence during these pieces of or during these stages of industrial action.
So I'm talking with Adil Patel, and he's Employment Law Director at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, which is an employment practice organization. And Adil, I just want to pick you up on pick up with you on a couple of the issues that you've mentioned. So we've seen this call, and we've seen this investigation that's commenced from government into a minimum wage in South Africa. Now, given the current state of our economy, do you think that minimum wage is still on the cards?
I think that there's still an investigation. I think the trade unions are, so I think it's still something that government is considering very, very seriously. And I think that as South Africans, minimum wages shouldn't be anything new to us. We have it in various sectors of our economy. We have it in the domestic sector. We have it in the cleaning sector, where government has issued out sectorial determinations. So it's certainly on the cards, and it's not something that we haven't lived with or we're not in tune with. Whether it will increase the cost of employment, you know, anything that intervenes in the collective bargaining relationship where there is a new starting point obviously will potentially increase the cost of employment.
It seems to me that certainly what you've said about retrenchments is a clear indication from employers that it cannot be business as usual, and that either because of just operational needs or in fact because of economic needs, there is going to need to be a downscaling of the workforce. How do you think in their minds strategically trade unions are reconciling that realization on the one hand, and on the other hand with this massive push either from their members or from themselves as trade union organizers, with this massive push for minimum wages, for increased wages, for industrial action to determine higher levels of wage agreements? What do you think strategically is going on in the mind of the average trade unionist, given that they can see this train coming down the track of retrenchments, of downsizing in industries?
I think that organizations use operational requirements or retrenchments not only because of financial reasons. I think they use it because they want a new structure as to how they're going to deliver the service in terms of from a technological perspective. I think what the trade union movement is beginning to do is to start to commence questioning the underlying reason why you are actually embarking upon this process and to use all means possible in order to test whether what you're saying is reasonable, whether what you're saying is correct, whether this is a solution. The issue about that the more wages I ask for, the more likelihood that I will be retrenched is not something new. It's been around forever. Employers have always used the law report, have always said that if I increase wages, retrenchments become a real possibility. I think the trade union movement have lived with that. Some of the thinking behind them or behind it is I have to earn a decent wage as opposed to just having any job. I think it's an ideological and a philosophical discussion as to whether you earn a little but still have a job, alternatively have in trade union movement mind is I earn a decent wage, and if it means that I have no job, that's a choice I'm going to have to make.
Interesting. I think employers seem to have the same choice, which is if I close my business down and put my money in the bank, I'm likely to have better security than running a business where very often I'm responsible for cash flow.
I agree, and those are the choices that running or operating in an economy just generally, it's these sort of choices that we need to make. But I can say that what we envisage for 2017 is that any retrenchment process is now going to be scrutinized both at a substantive level as to why are you actually going through a retrenchment process, as well as a process perspective. The procedural component is now going to be looked upon with a fine-tooth comb by all consulting parties. The days of people just simply accepting that because of the economy and we see your basic financials would be experiencing a loss, I think we're going to see a more vociferous and active workforce in 2017.
And all the more reason for employers themselves to become more activist and start grabbing and owning the space of employment and not necessarily always giving in to trade union support. I want to finally just deal with the issue of labor brokers, because that's very interesting in terms of what you said, because there certainly has been a push over the last 7 or 8 years for outlawing the entire labor broking fraternity, and it's to some extent it's fallen on deaf ears in the sense that while there is new regulation or there has been additional regulation as far as labor brokers are concerned, they very much are very active and still part of our economic society in South Africa, and they don't seem to be going anywhere. In other words, companies are still dealing with labor brokers, certainly in the construction and the project kind of sector. The vast majority of people who work in those sectors come from the temporary employment sector. Do you see a new push, a new drive from 2017 onwards for more constraining legislation, for a framework which in fact has the effect of closing down the options of TESs in South Africa? Or do you see the status quo remaining?
I don't think we're going to see legislation coming out. I think what we're going to see is that we're only in the second year of the amendments. I think courts need to grapple with the concept and the amendments of labor brokers. I think the important part is that the amendments firstly do not outlaw labor brokering. And what it does is that the amendments seek to protect a vulnerable group of employees. And that vulnerable group is determined by how much money they earn. And that's 205,433.50 per annum. I think that group of vulnerable employees certainly are going to start asserting their rights much more, asserting that they want to be paid equally to the client's employees, asserting potentially that they should be employed by the client. I think there's still a role for labor brokers in South Africa. I think they are a good staffing model resource. I think that depending upon if people are paid above the threshold, which is the 205 amount, I think that they'll be able to, that they won't fall within the net of the amendments. It's a vulnerable group of employees that I think the legislature wanted to protect, and I think we're going to start seeing this group of persons becoming more active in 2017. You're going to see many more cases coming to the courts and to the CCMA.
Fantastic. Adil Patel, thank you so much for being on Contemporary Business, and hopefully we can chat to you again in the future.
Thank you.
Go well. Bye-bye.